Guys, today's show is brought to you by Austin Chronicle Music Poll winner 2013-2014 for Best Acoustic Venue, Best All Ages Venue, and Best Overall Venue. Yes, in the live music capital of the world, Strange Brew Lounge Side won Best Overall Venue. Why? Great sound. Focus on the artist, the music, the people. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Tonight, Friday, September 5th, they have Water and Rust at 8 p.m., Carrie Hudson at 10 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday, September 6th, 10 a.m. Every Saturday, they have a free kids show. Every Saturday, a different artist. This week at 10 a.m., free show with Groundwork Music Orchestra. At 7 p.m., Julia Malanta. And at 9 p.m., friend of the podcast, Charlie Fay, is doing a show there. All right? So, of course, Sunday, September 7th, the Purgatory Players play at 11 a.m., free Sunday brunch music. Yes. Who's on that bill? Well, in the Purgatory Players, you got the John D. Graham, Sela, John Green, Scrappy Judd Newcomb, and a host of other great musicians. Every Tuesday at 6 p.m., you got Durawa. I have been playing every Tuesday. I'm doing my last one at 8 p.m. on this Tuesday, September 9th. I will be playing with Kathy Valentine, Ryan Holly, and Joe Reyes. That's right. And, of course, the great Renfro, featuring Tony Scalzo and Kevin McKinney, who are our guests today, are doing their last Monday, this coming Monday, which is the 8th. And then on Wednesday, September 17th, they start playing Wednesdays. All right, so look, go to strangebrewlounside.com. It's a great website. You can do it on your phone. You can find out who's playing there. You can sign up on their email list. You will find out who's playing there all the time. strangebrewlounside.com. Find out who's playing. Go down there. Support some music. Scott, Catherine, Carlos, Casey Crowley, all the gang down there. Great people. Strange Brew Lounge Side. Do it.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you today. From the band Renfro, I have Tony Scalzo and Kevin McKinney. You might know Tony and Kevin from their other bands. Tony Scalzo is in Fastball. Kevin McKinney is also in Soul Hat. But they joined forces last year, started a band called Renfro, and they've just put out two new songs that have come out on iTunes and CD Baby. One of them is called Can You Keep a Secret, and the other one's called Good Luck for Real. They've got songs out there. They're out there playing shows. They've been doing a Monday night residency, which they are changing on September 17th. They will be doing Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. at Strange Brew, which is where I've been doing the thing. They sponsored the show today. Great place to do this, and they're a band that kind of spawned out of that club. One of the first, I think, I mean, to me, one of the first bands that kind of came out of there. So there you go. Renfro on the show today. Great conversation with Kevin and Tony. They've both been on the show before when they had put out their solo albums. Tony put out a solo album last year called My Favorite Year. Kevin put out a solo album as well. And now they've joined forces. They have Renfro. And in the band is also Ed Jerzynski, who is a fantastic drummer, good friend of mine, and also one of my dear friends, member of Sheboygan, who plays our theme song, Chris Gebbard. Great dudes. All right? So get out there. Check out Renfro. Look them up. They are on Facebook. Tony makes very exciting social media posters with his phone. He showed me how to do it today. And now I feel kind of weird because I bought this app and I feel like now all of my online posters are just going to look like Tony. So hopefully they won't. Tony, don't be mad if they do. Okay, great conversation with these guys. Let me tell you something. We touched on the Spotify thing that I talked about on Tuesday's show with Hookah Hay. In the intro, I don't know if you remember, but I talked about getting into Spotify, having an inner dialogue where the fan in me was literally having the best day of his life because I was just out amassing this incredible collection of music for a couple of hours, just sitting there on my couch with my computer, with my phone, with my Kindle, just in there, just fucking, when I'd go pee, when I, you know, go outside to smoke a cigarette, take my phone out there with me and keep on loading up music. And then as an artist, I started realizing that there's no way to really get paid like an artist has come accustomed to getting paid for their music being played, right? Okay, now look, I don't make my living off of mailbox money, which is like music, like say music got placed, I had a big hit or something. I've never had that. So I don't know what it's like to live off of that income. However, I had a conversation on Tuesday night with Kimmy Rhodes where I was telling her about the Spotify thing. And she said, look out, don't put your music on Spotify because it doesn't pay. Tony Scalzo talked about how his income has been decimated because a lot of his income is from mailbox money. He wrote The Way. He wrote Over My Head. Great songs. They made him a great deal of money. They afforded him to do other things. And now, with the way that the music economy has changed, it has lowered his income substantially to where he described it as being decimated. So, what's the answer here? You know what I mean? Like, do you have to go out there and make your music? Like, I basically, in music, I have a blue-collar job. The way that I make my living, mostly, I should say almost entirely, is from Skyrocket, which is a cover band. And I go out and I play shows physically, go load in, set up, play a show, and get paid for that time that I was there. Okay? Like, I clock in and I clock out. I don't fly around and write songs with people and then have this just general income of money coming because of the art that I've made that's out there. I wish I did. That's what I set out to do. But instead, I have the good fortune of being in Skyrocket, because right now, having that job of waiting for mailbox money is not that great because of things like Spotify, because of you know, how people started trading music illegally and all that stuff. So it's a different time. People have to make a living somehow. How is this going to happen? Not everybody can go be in a Skyrocket. Not everybody like Tony has a fastball that they can go out and make money with playing. Not everyone like Kevin has a soul hat that they can go out and play a few shows, make a few bucks. Where does this come in? What happened to mailbox money? Is that going to come back? Is there a way to go back to what that was like? I have no idea. I mean, this conversation is just getting deeper and deeper, and I'm sorry to blow like two total intros on this, but I have to. I mean, this is real deal stuff. This is the music industry. And this show is conversations with musicians and people in the industry. You know, do people still get paid like they did for radio? Does Tony still get that kind of money? I should have asked him that. The sales, they've dropped. People aren't buying. If someone's paying $9.99 a month, and like me, getting probably, you know, I'm probably going to end up with 5,000 songs this month, man. 5,000 songs. There's no way that my $9.99 is paying those people for those songs the way that they should be paid. Do I go on and keep on buying stuff on iTunes? Do I keep on going to the record store and buying physical CDs? Am I trying to hang on to a dream that isn't really there anymore? Are we all? And by us all, I mean guys like us from the 90s, from the early 2000s, guys that had deals in the 90s. Guys that thought, well, I'll get a radio, I'll get a song on the radio, maybe I'll have a hit, get a song and a thing, become rich, go write with some people, they'll have some hits with those songs, get rich. It's not happening like it used to. How is this going to recover? Is it going to recover? Are artists going to have to find a different way to make money? And then I start thinking about it. Like, I didn't really think about this when I got on Netflix a few years ago, streaming movies, paying a finite amount of money, and I'm watching 43,000 things, you know, for that, you know, $15 or whatever I'm paying. I don't know, man. It's very confusing, and it's frightening in a way, because that part of the dream is gone. Do you want to go out and play every single night as you get older? I'm 45 years old. I love playing. I'd love to go out and play. Doing it all the time, traveling all the time. That can be taxing. Is there a way to write hit songs and live off of them? I met the guy from the Turtles in the 80s when I worked at Whole Foods. He came into the coffee part where I worked, and I ended up going on break and asking him who he was, and he told me, and I'm a Turtles fan, and I asked him if I could talk to him. I was a young musician. I was 20 years old. I wanted to talk to him about how do you do it, man? How do you become the Turtles? How do I do that? How do I become my own Turtles? He said, you know what? The main thing you got to do is make sure that you write a great song, and a song that can last for a long time. Put your kids through college, keep you in a home, keep your family fed, and keep your career up so you can go out there and play when you want to. Well, that mailbox money is drying up. And I feel like I'm part of the problem. I got on Spotify. But am I part of the problem? Or has everything changed and I'm just jumping on a bandwagon and enjoying it as a fan? Fuck, I don't know. I talked to Kevin and to Tony about it, and it's affected Tony a lot. And he's not that happy about it. And I don't blame him. But I'll tell you what, they're both happy about Renfro, and they're excited about the music that they're making, because when this all fucking comes down to it, it's not about the money that you make, or the living that you make, or the blue-collar music job that you have, or whatever. It's creating something. It's putting something on this earth where there once was nothing. And Tony Scalzo is fucking amazing at doing that. Kevin McKinney, fucking amazing at doing that. They are great creative entities. And they are doing this Renfro from their heart. And that's why it's great. And that's why people should make music. All right? Sorry, I'm freaking out. Let's talk to Kevin and Tony. I love these fucking guys. Renfro, let's get down. Happy Friday, bitches. Summer's about on this podcast, man. Sweating it out in the summer. So Mondays at Strange Brew. How long have you guys been doing this now?
Started in October, but it's going to be Wednesdays at Strange Brew.
Just this past October?
No. Yeah. The last October there was.
The one that we're getting ready to have, we're going to start.
Oh, okay. That'll be and now you're going to move to Wednesdays, huh?
Apparently I got the word this morning that Scott wants to move us to Wednesdays. Starting next Wednesday.
Which may be better for people to come out. Who knows? We've been doing the Monday thing for so long, and it's always been sort of slow.
Yeah.
But people are trickling in and saying good things when they, you know, when they leave. So we get new faces every time, but it's like one or two.
Yeah.
Three or four new people.
It's hard.
One or 200.
I've been doing...
You've been doing the Tuesday thing.
I've been doing the Tuesdays, and it literally fluctuates between like 40 and 5.
Yeah, that's about right.
And there's no like last week there was a thing on KUTX. We were on the Austin Music Minute, like go do this thing, and four people came.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. And I don't think we've gone past 25. Paid customers.
Hmm. It's good to talk about this kind of stuff.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, like, when you do like a weekly, star, you've been doing weekly, well, Johnny, for years.
This is a real fucking thing. I mean, it's tough. I mean, sometimes there are a lot of people there. Sometimes you can make a bunch of money, but it's weird because I think psychologically it can turn into a thing where it is like a Bob Schneider thing.
It didn't go
or like it used to be in the time of the Black Cat.
Right.
Where that
right.
was it. That was, it was like... Now people have so many choices and so much to do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That I think a lot of times, and I know that people like, it happens to me. Like, oh, I'll go see them. Oh, you know, I'll go see them next week. And then like that, you know, that turns into months.
Well, I know how to do it. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Because of geographical and, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. What?
I'll go out every night.
Well, no, you know, you gotta. When you're young, you've got a bunch of friends, and they have a bunch of girlfriends, and there's a bunch of girls. Then that's that.
But you know, we're a scene around two or three.
Yeah, so
bands.
It's just hard to do when you're
aged
and married.
Aged. Yeah,
and it's hard.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do? Drag a bunch of girls out to the show? You know?
The aged ones.
So then it's about, all right, come see our band because you like the music, and that's why we do it, because we like the music.
Right.
But it's not. It's not a party scene at this point. We got to figure that out.
Right. Well, I mean, those things happen. And I think a year, in the grand scheme of things, when you really think about it, isn't that long to put into building something like that. And eventually something will happen. a tipping point always happens, yeah. And then it's like the thing, and people are there. Well, because I'm sure that Darawa thing wasn't like what it is now when it started. And I mean, yeah. That thing, like when
that's
I get to my gig.
You?
Yeah.
Right. It's a nice happy hour situation, right?
Dude, it is packed every time, like SRO, standing room.
Sure. Yeah.
Does totally. He do the special guest thing every time?
I don't.
Because we were doing that. We need to get back into that.
Yeah.
And have John Gowdy.
That's a good one. Hey, you guys have the mighty Chris Gebhard playing bass with you guys, right?
We do.
How's that going? Good?
Good.
He's a great...
Can he do the... He hasn't chimed in yet.
No, he did. I can prove it to you.
We just want to make sure he can do the Wednesday thing.
Confirmation from everyone but me.
Yeah.
But I'll be there.
So you guys decided to get a bass player.
Can do.
Yeah, well, we wanted one from the gate, I think.
I didn't.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding. I liked playing bass. It was kind of cool, but it does help, I think, with the overall flow to not having to switch around all the time. Well, that was kind of cute, but... Yeah.
We even had a name for it. I mean, it was Renfro.
Yeah.
Getting tangled up in your cables.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, that's what you've been Renfro'd.
Yeah. That happens in Skyrocket a lot with the switching of people. In fact, the other day I heard Trish Murphy having a conversation with someone about wanting to go wireless. Right. Just simply because she feels like she's in a spaghetti noodle.
Yeah.
Now you can tell her what it's really called.
Yeah, it's called, you were in a Renfro.
Yeah. It's a noun, it's an adjective.
You got that Renfro working for you.
It's even an adverb.
So you were saying that when you started this off, you guys came in with your own songs already written, but now stuff's being written with the band in mind. And...
Well, I would say that songs are being written now during the Renfro thing. That they're just being written, but we do end up bringing them. I do anyways. I end up bringing it into specifically the Renfro realm where I can say, well, this is going to be something we should try.
Yeah.
And maybe get ready to record. I'm really trying to look for recording situations for us that are affordable. Recording's just as expensive as it's been, in my opinion. I mean, I like to go into studios. I like to be in a situation that's not all like, you know, overrun by cats. And,
yeah.
You know,
or like
smoke.
In some dude's apartment. Or
just
you
the
know,
whole
yeah.
Austin. No offense to some of my bros who have studios, but... You know, I really kind of, I want to keep this thing world class. I want to keep it sort of the way I've been used to making records, which is, you know, high budget, you know, good equipment, maybe the possibility of some great analog gear, good kick-ass mics, and great engineers who know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. Would you guys go in with a producer? Or would you produce your, how do you do this?
Sure,
last,
that'd be cool
the single.
That was a Renfro single. Production.
But it looked like I saw some... Did I see some pictures of you guys in a studio?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I went to an actual good studio, 12th Street Sound over there on the East 12th.
Great new place.
Yeah, good pro
Kevin
situation.
Kevin Samansky.
Okay.
I would recommend that studio to anybody who wants to...
Super cool.
You know.
But it's expensive, you know?
Yeah.
We can't really do stuff as fast as I'd like to do. I mean, I hit up a friend of mine the other day who happens to work for... he works for Dave Grohl at 606. He manages that studio in LA.
Right.
He was talking about starting a label, and I was like joking on his Facebook going, okay, sign Renfro, 500,000, you know, three album, $500 advance. We're ready to go, man. You know, and he just went, 7 inches only. And I'm like, perfect. I'll send you some music within the next 60 days or something.
Yeah.
And then I seriously got a hold of him personally, and I was like, hey, let's talk about doing a 7-inch because we've recorded some stuff, but we've only been able to release it digitally because it's cost prohibited to make vinyl now.
I mean,
if you really want to put out a 7-inch, you're going to have to sell that thing for like $15, and that's still not realistic to me. I mean, coming from a time when they were $5, $3.99, $2.99 for a 7-inch single, I can't really abide with this $15 vinyl situation. Anyway, he's like, well, here's the rub. It's only going to be for acts that have recorded at 606. I'm like, fine. Book us. When can we record at 606?
Yeah.
I'm like, let's do it. You know, I haven't got a response. But that's how I'm doing things. I'm like, fine. Okay.
Let's go.
All right. I just want people to know, I mean, this is a killer band with really good material. It's not stale. It's not singer-songwriter folk Americana. It's rock, and it's got some interesting, you know, it's just full of great stuff, and yeah. I want to put it out.
Yeah, well, you two are two of my favorite songwriters, and I will even say that Kevin, you know, I think the first version of The Way I heard, was there like a four-track version of The Way?
Yeah, I did something on a...
I heard that.
On a four-track
That's
task,
the first you know? Time I heard that.
Was yeah, that, the demo was that... is actually pretty close to the way that song yeah. came out in a full-on...
Yeah.
You know, where we recorded at A&M Studios.
Yeah.
But kind of
your
a big
four-track
deal.
Stuff as well, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you're going to go into the four... going back into the big studios...
Yeah, and both our demo skills are totally there. I mean, we can get our ideas across in hours with the, you know, with the little equipment we have. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's still not going to match that
right.
release quality.
So you released this this digital dual single just digitally, not even on CD.
That's correct.
So when you go through CD Baby, then they just, like, put it on the different...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still botched.
Yeah, we've got that problem.
I every day I email them like, did you get the CD yet? And I'm like, no, I didn't got it yet. So
I wonder how often that happens. We got one song on there that came out perfect. So we have two songs on iTunes now. One is the perfect length, and it's not partial. But the second song, my song...
It just didn't upload all the way.
It's only a minute.
Didn't find out until, you know, it was...
Right, right.
We announced it, we're like... iTunes get our thing, you know.
It's not a perfect thing out there, is it? Those computers.
It's not.
I think next time I would probably have. I think we should print up a CD or two.
I agree with
that,
but then I don't like the idea of putting out a two-song CD. I think it's a waste of plastic. It's a waste of our.
It
money.
Is a waste of plastic.
What do you guys? Where do you guys? Sure. Do you guys? Does that CD Baby just put you on Spotify and like Pandora
yeah,
and shit?
Yeah.
What do you guys think of that? Are either of you guys in that world of streaming music?
I'm not, so I can't
well,
speak
you know,
about
I'm,
it.
You know, I mean, I'm stuck with whatever the music industry decides to evolve into with my past catalog.
Right.
So, I mean, that's my income for the most part.
Does that frighten you? I mean, I had a long talk with Kimmy Rhodes about it the other night.
I mean, it may not sound like a very cool thing to complain about, but
no,
the fact is my...
It's your life.
Yeah, my income's been pretty decimated by streaming, by Spotify, by even iTunes. I mean, the fact is, people aren't going to go buy those CDs anymore. That's over. It's done. They're going to look for one or two songs by my band Fastball, and that's it. So there's no more of that, you know, the gravy train has left town.
Yeah.
The gravy train that I sort of built my, you know,
yeah,
my life around.
I'm just laughing.
I got a lot of kids. I got expenses, and I have to pay rent just like anybody else. And the fact is, when I start working, that's when I start spending money that I don't really have. So, I mean, a lot of this is, I mean, it's such a labor of love that I end up putting my own money into it rather than, you know, Renfrew doesn't make any money from me at all. When it comes down to the expenses that we put into for recording, the pay we get at Strange Brew is just enough to pay the dudes in the band every week that we play. And just
But that's
know,
like
that's
that when you're starting something out. I mean, that
Absolutely.
Was like that in the 90s when you were starting out fast. It's not
Absolutely.
Like you were making your living at the
My
home
point
long.
Is that I can't even, I can't really augment my income with a working situation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. I can't make it whole by working. In fact, sitting still is probably more lucrative for me than... for real. And I think that's just wrong. I mean, all I want to do is record and make music. And that's all I've ever wanted to do since well before Fastball.
Right.
And not that I welcomed the success of that, but, you know, wow. It really put me in all this new territory of obstacles you have to deal with, like the expectations that you've built all of a sudden because you're, you know, multiple platinum
yeah.
and Grammy nominated and people are expecting certain things from you. You can't move around genre wise. You can't branch out. You can't go crazy. You can't And then you can't do anything because nobody really wants anything new from a band that has had that kind of success. I don't believe anybody really wants. There's fans.
No, I mean,
but the general public doesn't really know
right.
or care.
But that's like, I mean, that's indicative. I'm sure, like, when you get together and go do stuff with Soul Hat, if you wanted to branch out and not play Bone Crusher, and you know, maybe it might bum some people out. I mean, I'm sure Skyrocket decided to only do like the songs you've never heard by Split Enz. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like if we changed our format.
Yeah. Deep cut.
Well, yeah.
Skyrocket, the deep cut edition.
No one would fucking hear a thing that we have to say.
Right.
But I mean, you know, but you guys go out and you tour and you play and you.
Right, with some bands, like not with them, and I've been playing with them a little
bit.
But
Kevin's
our
bass player. In Fastball.
It seems like a lot of bands that have hits would be, oh, shit, we have to play that song again. They're not like that. You know, they're glad to play those songs.
Absolutely.
And so as long, I think if you...
Sure, you wrote them. They're great songs.
That's what we're there for.
But
yeah,
some
yeah,
people,
we know
oh,
that.
Shit,
don't you think that's weird?
My Sharona.
I think
if I had
a legitimate hit.
A My Sharona?
I wouldn't. If I had a My Sharona.
You play it.
I'd still have a boner for My Sharona.
On center.
So, How much do you guys play with Fastball? Like how much of your time is?
Well, it's been a slow year because last year was really actually quite intense. We were out for 2 months almost with the Under the Sun tour,
right?
And that was Sugar Ray, Smash Mouth, right. Gin Blossoms, Vertical right. Horizon. Great situation for us to get our name out again and do our thing and play our hits. Another thing is, since we were one of the opening bands, it's like a 25-minute set, so there's no room for playing boring new stuff.
Right,
you know,
right,
it's
right.
like
yeah.
We were able to give our A game every night and just, you know, just blow them away and bail. And now we're waiting for new stuff to happen with Fastball. We got a new manager, and he says that by November we should have a good idea of what our summer is going to look like. And really what we've sort of come, and I'll get away from the Fastball thing as soon as I can, but it's given me a chance, the way things are, to work on the Renfro thing.
Sure.
Because we've also started to realize what our real role is now. You know, 16 years down the line, we are basically going to be lumped into a nostalgia package tour situation that plays, you know, festivals, casinos, state fairs, that kind of deal, which is a great career, actually. It's really easy work. You don't have to put too much thought into a Fastball set. We hardly ever practice, frankly. I mean, we get together. We know what to do. We've been playing for 20 years together, me, Joey, and Miles.
Yeah.
And we've known Kevin for as long.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a no-brainer. And so that's what we're trying to build for next year and the years going on. We'll probably see a lot of packaged things with, say, Fastball, the Rembrandts, Gin Blossoms, bands like that.
Right.
Trying to find the like-minded sort of groups from that era that, you know, they're more compatible with Fastball than, say, I think Smash Mouth
right.
or Sugar Ray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, I like those guys personally, but I don't think our music is really quite right. in line with the Smash Mouth, you know, thing.
Yeah. yeah.
So and anyway, that's why we do Renfro, I think. Kevin doesn't really want to play Bone Crusher.
Well, I will. Yeah. We just aren't.
We got to bust it out once in a while then.
We're inactive.
Well, except because those sort of things have a ceiling. And I mean, it's the same thing. Like, I mean, that's the same feeling, and not to be like, oh, this is, or not to make it about me, but just kind of like I relate on the level that with Skyrocket, I do have this thing that's like a job. We do rehearse because we have to do new stuff all the
right.
time. We have to keep everything sharp. But those couple of days a week afford me to do this and not make a fortune, to do Tuesdays at Strange Brew and not make a fortune, go out and, you know, go uh-huh. out and do some shows for a week and not worry about making my rent off of it
right.
and do it because for the same reason that we started out doing it. Like, no one thought when you got in a garage with a couple of dudes, if you're going to pay rent or if you're going to, you know, make your guarantee or like you were just doing it to like play. And I bet that's the same feeling that you guys get. Like when I went and jammed in the garage with Renfro, there was no like kind of weird. It was just basically if we could have all been 14 and I could have ridden my bike over there.
Yeah.
And
I see
like,
no
you know
difference.
What I mean? And done that same thing.
I see no difference today in the stuff that we do today than the stuff that I did before I moved here in Austin.
Yeah.
Which was in garages with, you know.
Well, when I first saw Magneto USA, you know, at Hole in the Wall and shit, it was the same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
It was a band just rocking out.
Uh-huh. Trying to get that material together, really.
Yeah.
That's really what it's all about for me is just
Develop
the material, shed the stuff that you're not so happy with, and build.
Yeah. You know. Do you guys write together?
Not yet.
No.
We should.
We should probably, yeah.
Sometimes
I think
we
probably do okay. We're working together to arrange each other's songs these days, and the guys in, you know, Rusty, Chris, and Ed are helping out a lot.
Yeah.
Great ideas and good input. And I love that.
We kind of took a long path around like this whole band, Renfro, figuring out what it was.
Yeah,
and now I think it like only this summer I think we finally go, okay, this is what it is.
Right.
It's a rock band. It's not a and it was a singer-songwritery thing, which,
right.
And then it went into a kind of a Gary Newcomb
kind of psychedelic country thing.
Yeah, and that
which
was
I
great
dug,
too.
But he had a split.
He's gone for he was left for the summer, and then you know like now it's a guitar high energy, but you know we're trying to make non-snoozy kind of just rock and roll.
Yeah,
not
being at Strange Brew.
It's
kind of easy to fall into the mellow situation. But we're learning how to inject more energy into it, little by little, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you totally can do that. So how did it come together? Like, how did you guys decide to, like, how did Renfro even start?
We went to the fortune teller.
Kevin called me and told me the guy, Scott, from Strange Brew wanted to start a thing with me and him and Will Sexton.
I guess before that, Billy Cassis was playing in Tony's solo. I guess he had a record coming out, and
he played on my
record.
Yeah.
And then
that's a great record, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks.
I guess he had a conflict, and he's you got to help me out and do these gigs with Tony. And I knew Tony, but I didn't know Tony very well.
So he started playing with.
So I started doing the gigs with Tony. Still didn't know him very well, you know, just doing and playing guitar and all that. And then, like you said, Scott from Strange Brew was like, "Hey, kept bugging me about putting this band together." And so I called Tony because I was playing with him. I should have thought of you.
Yeah.
You'll have to join the band.
I did join the band.
Yes, for a night.
Yeah. I'm supposed to again, though, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. You will.
Okay. All right.
You will.
Because my residency ends this Tuesday.
I heard. Our residency technically ends this Monday, too. So
okay. So it's going to be
Wednesday.
Start
a new one on Wednesday.
What time on Wednesdays?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay, so anyway, so you guys were playing together. Scott said, "Hey, I want to do this thing with you." And did Will ever play?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Will did it for about a month and a half.
We did about 5 shows, 2-6 shows.
That's not a guy that loves rehearsing.
No.
he was cool about it.
It was not a bad thing when we were doing it.
Unless
it was
just a professional,
pretty cool.
Nice guy at rehearsal. He might have been moaning about it on the way there and back, but I don't know.
No.
He was totally swell. Seemed into it, I thought, at first. Two rehearsals, I thought.
Such a busy guy, though, man.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stuff. Him and Amy, they're all over the place.
Yeah, she's amazing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then you got, Michael Hale? Is that who you got to start off
Well,
with?
We had a bunch of guys, old friends that I'd worked with before. No,
Will had a buddy, Sean.
That's right.
Sean Zorn.
Oh, yeah, that guy's good.
Yeah,
he's
was
really
good.
Cool.
We were digging him.
But he kind of had to go.
Okay. He lives.
He reminds me of that guy in the movie Bonnie and Clyde that they get from the the gas station.
Yeah.
He just hops in the car ready to go. Zorn's rad. Deal.
Yeah.
But he's a Memphis guy, you know,
right.
And he pretty much lives there. And
that makes it tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then who else did you get?
Yeah, Michael Hale.
And Michael, yeah.
He's busy. Busy guy, too. Kevin Lance.
Kevin Lance plays on our two songs that we recorded.
Oh, good.
He did great. He's busy. It's just, you know, all the good guys are busy.
Yeah.
Ed's busy, too, but he just wasn't busy on Mondays, so.
Let's hope he's not busy on Wednesday.
He's no. Hey, right that's here. What, it says, that's what can do.
Excellent.
That's what's good about. I mean, that's why I was doing the early in the week thing, because I was having other people play on the bill too, and I was like, well, no one's doing anything on Tuesdays.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I get scared because I can't really go out and do shit on the weekends because I'll, you know. When I was in that band Liars and Saints, which was a collective like this, like a bunch of singer-songwriter people, I took off a weekend to go play with Liars and Saints. And we went to Dallas, and I spent like $140. That was my take-home pay, was negative $140. And I even came back after the gig. And Chris Gebbard went in and played two gigs with Skyrocket, and they were like the two biggest paying gigs for the month. And like, so if I added that as a loss, it was like another like $1,000. It was just like, oh God, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it tough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a legitimate, difficult thing that I have to balance on a regular basis. That makes it hard. Everyone else does too, because you want to do these things that you love. But for some reason, that beautiful temple of 500,000, I don't know where people, did you guys get $500,000 advance in fastball?
Jesus. I don't believe so.
My
no.
band didn't even get 100,000.
I don't think so.
I don't think we did either.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I wasn't paying
but
attention.
But I've heard of dudes. I've
that's
heard
a
of
hell
dudes,
of a lot of money.
I've heard of dudes getting that kind of money, but it was like in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, we were sort of the tail end of that for the rest of life on Earth.
You guys were kind of like the last big
We were the last
band
major label on radio. Modern rock band, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Literally no one came after us with that kind of ability to go in and get Brian Setzer or Billy Preston or all these other dudes in full orchestras and A&M studios. It cost, back then, that place cost $17.50 a day.
Yeah.
A day.
Yeah.
And we were in there for 3-4 weeks, basically living in A&M in Hollywood.
That's across the street from a
Lemmy would be
bar,
hanging out in the
shop,
lounge
right?
next door or or you know, Alice in Chains dude or what have you. It was like the real deal. And since then we did two records there actually, but since then it's been, you know, slowly going down the stairs, scaling down the stairs to the point where, you know, we're making the records ourselves. You know, in town, which is not a bad situation either.
Is that, I mean, do you enjoy the control? Or did you feel like you, I mean, because when you...
The label was actually pretty, pretty, like...
Out of your way?
No.
Oh.
There. They had a presence. And the producer was actually having to deal with a lot of middleman stuff between the label and us. And he's like... Things got weird and difficult, and I was out of my mind with sort of like the reeling from the, you know, the workload. We were, you know, basically gone for 3 years, and my kids asked me how many times I've heard or performed The Way, and we took a while to sort of figure it out and do the math, and I would say probably about 10,000 times.
Because
if you had put
you must
3 years
really
together,
good at it then, right?
Oh yeah, I could do that shit in my sleep, yeah. But you know, I mean, you're talking about 3 or 4 times a day performances in stores, radio stations, and then your show, you know, every day times 365 times 3 plus since then. You know, it's a lot of stuff. But, I mean, the workload back then was enough to make me sort of out of touch with reality. And, you know, I wasn't very hands-on by the time we did our third album. And
right.
I kind of didn't care. And I figured things are just going to be like this for the rest of my life. And, well, since we sold 1 million copies of All the Pain Money Can Buy, I, you know, easily assumed it's going to be like 3 million this record.
Right.
You know,
right,
and
right.
Obviously it didn't work out that way. It was more like 80,000, which any band today would love to sell 80,000 copies of.
But back then it was looked on as
a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what's cool is that if you were in Iowa at Denny's and the lady that was waiting on you said, "What do you do?" And you'd say,
"She would have recognized
songs.
Me back then."
No, you'd say,
"She would have known who I was back
right,
then."
Right. But I mean now.
Yeah, now.
And she says, "Hey, what do you do?" And you say, "Oh, I'm a musician." "Oh, would you do anything on it?" And you sing The Way, and she goes, "Oh, I know that song." We can't do that. I mean, I don't know if you can.
I can't do that, no.
Some hits in Iowa.
No.
Correct. But that's, I can still, cool. I wouldn't even have to sing it. I just go, well, this song that's playing right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And I don't know how much money I get from stuff like that. I don't think I get very much, frankly. And I know I don't really get any money when it plays on the radio, you know.
What about, so you're not on any streaming, you don't listen to music on a streaming service?
I do not.
You do not?
I don't
Unless
either.
It's Tony Scalzo's computer.
Right, okay. How do you guys listen? What do you listen to the radio?
In my car, I will, just because I don't. But typically, not really like paying attention to it.
We drove about 20 hours.
It's too much low energy. Oh no, that was actually great. We listened to the
garage thing.
And that was a blast. You know, I'm just tired of this low energy music that's everywhere. It bums me out. To no end. I can't stand it.
Yeah, and also the fake emotiveness.
Kryptonite.
Like, there's this sort of way people they sort of inflect their voice.
Yeah.
With, you know, like fake passion.
Oh, yeah.
For what?
I don't know.
Making a point.
I don't know.
It's youth, really, is what it is. And I guess I resent the youth.
Hey, we all do.
I resent the young.
Do you? You don't really, do you?
Do
I mean, you have kids.
Not?
Do your kids ever turn you on to new music? I mean, do they come, "Hey, Dad, have you heard Diplo?"
So far, not yet. I'm waiting. Actually, my daughter.
Is that a real band?
That's a guy. No, you know, I tried to listen to some EDM because I'm like, look, it's taken over. And I know, like, producer guys that are, like, injecting those sensibilities into everything that they do and whatever. Right. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to listen to, okay, who are the top guys? Skrillex. Diplo.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
Major, whatever. So
I don't like any of that stuff.
No, it's literally, there's like, I have nothing against dance music. I love dance music, and I think that my attraction to like bands like New Order, which I love, and like Yaz, and fucking Donna Summer, and all that shit, was their good songs. And these are literally like not songs. There's like a guy that says something every once in a while that's a quote-unquote hook, like, "Turn the bass down."
Right.
But otherwise, it's like literally for people that are tripping their asses off.
Yeah, I understand.
And it's like sounds that squish a lot. Like,
right. Sounds, you know, awesome.
It's terrible.
I have a 22-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And she turned me on to a band called Fiddlar from California. And it's just like kind of old school punk rock. Real high energy. Simple stuff. There's a band I love out of San Diego called the Crocodiles, or Crocodiles.
Yeah.
Kind of a psych band.
Yeah.
Little bit of Velvet Underground meets punk rock.
Yeah.
Well, now I think rock. That's a scene that's probably happening.
A Velvet Underground.
No,
punk
the psych thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's,
yeah, but you know, it's what I love about it is it's fresh and it's not some like Grateful Dead rehash.
Oh, I think, like, that's a cool...
And there's more of a punk edge to
good
it.
Good stuff going on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
More influence of, like, krautrock and things like that.
I just heard a great record, the new Glenn Tilbrook record.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really
We're
good.
Hoping to open up for him at the Roost.
Yeah, we got to call. We got to...
Did you call him?
They might not want an opener. I don't know if he's going to have a full band or not.
I don't either.
But I'd love to... I love Glenn.
Yeah.
He's great.
Have you ever met him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fastball's done a couple of shows with Squeeze. And in fact, Miles is really good friends with Chris Difford, and they've written songs together. They were out at the...
Fastball's get it. Like, he's friends with, like, John Oates. He's...
Well, Miles goes after...
Yeah, that's what he does.
He goes after anything that has to do with, you know, successful popular culture. He's going to be on that tip, and he'll be there first for sure. Like, I'm a more of a don't meet your idols guy.
No, you know what? He totally is. Because me and him we stood in line to meet this comedian that we're both really huge fans of. And we were both really nervous. And he was like, he actually said, "Will you stand in line with me? Because I feel stupid going up to him by myself. If you're there acting like an asshole too, I won't feel as bad."
Good. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
We bought t-shirts and everything. It was totally dorky.
That's sort of the dynamic of Fastball is, you know,
But that's good to have that sort of thing, you know. Kevin is an outgoing star.
Yeah, man.
Phaser.
I don't want to bother anybody.
You're gonna hear 75% more Tony Scalzo on this thing than you're gonna hear Kevin.
No, I know.
For sure.
Well, you should have. Yeah, when me and Johnny did this, I don't think I said anything.
I think it was just me talking.
Yeah.
Sure. Totally. Yes.
I'm there.
So what are the plans? You're gonna. Whoa, it is raining.
It's pouring.
You're gonna record more.
We are gonna record more.
You're gonna switch over to Wednesdays.
The creek don't rise.
Yeah. The creek don't rise. You're gonna record more. The band is kind of set with Chris and Ed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our next step is to definitely be recording another. Yeah, band photo would be good.
We're anonymous right now. People think we look like either a Wookiee on a skateboard or Liberace with handguns.
Yeah, you guys have some of the best online social media posters, and you showed me how you do it.
It's all Tony.
Yeah, that's what I found out. I thought it was you for some reason.
I don't have the proper sarcasm.
I have an eye for piracy.
Yeah.
Image piracy. And the beauty is if somebody gets pissed, I say, fine, it's down. I burned it. It's gone.
Yeah. Any plans of going on the road and taking this thing to people somewhere?
I don't see why we shouldn't go to San Antonio and Houston and all that. We should probably be doing that.
New York City, California.
Yeah.
San Antonio is a tough San Antonio is a weird. It's
got
just
some
an
friends
hour
down
away.
There,
like,
though. I think
go there?
I think I, whatever. I have a couple friends down there who have a lot of friends. I think it would just be a
Sam's,
couple.
Do a Sam's
I think if we
joint.
Just committed
Sam's
to doing
badass.
It once a month, we like could. Wouldn't take too long to be at least worth doing.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere in San Marcos to play these days?
Remember
we talked to
Cafe
Marcus
on
Morales.
The Square?
Talk to him.
Well, remember Cafe on the Square?
Oh yeah. I don't know. There's got to be a gig in San Marcos.
There's still...
There's a bunch of places.
Yeah.
There's a scene down there. New Braunfels, San Marcos has like a little scene.
Maybe we need to hire a DJ to join our band. If we go to a gig like that and it's not going so well, we can... Like, hey, kid.
Sounds awesome.
Hit the button.
Well...
Free flow of ideas, that's what we're about.
I think that's a good idea for somebody that are you guys planning on adding another dude? Or do you think the four guys is set? That's what I was trying to get at
before. For now, four guys is really good. We're able to do quite a bit because I jump around. I go to keyboards.
Right.
I think if we added a new body, we'd probably try and get Gary back.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's
we have
a
to
great,
convince him.
Great
that.
Guitar player and a great guy. And
plus, he started to add some stuff to our music that almost made it sound like a new form of music to me. I was really excited.
That's what I thought was real cool because both of you guys have like a great pop style of writing, and then having that instrument that isn't normally in there.
Pedal steel.
Yeah, gave it.
Pedal steel can blow your mind.
And he doesn't
with an Ebo?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily play it like some dude from the Grand Ole Opry.
He
plays
absolutely.
It like that.
He can do that stuff.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a real smart guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's kind of into chess.
Oh yeah,
that's a red flag for me. I've seen what chess does to people, and I kind of
really?
Like, yeah, I approve of chess playing, but I don't know if I approve of like 10 hours a day of chess playing.
That's a lot. What's your game?
The Marcel Duchamp chess obsession. It pretty much stopped him from creating anything. All through the latter half of the 20th century. All he would do is play chess.
You guys want to hear something weird? My grandpa passed away like in May, at the beginning of May. So we've been kind of going through his shit and like cleaning out his office, cleaning out his stuff. And I found like 3 photo albums, like old school, like photo albums, nice and thick. And just, they're all cut out with Bobby Fischer articles. Like he was like
obsessed
with Bobby Fischer for them. My aunts were like, oh yeah, he was telling us like, this is kind of weird. Like, I mean, he's like really into some dude he doesn't know his chess career. But like, it was unbelievable. Like his games, like cutouts of like the
Bobby
moves
Fischer
and everything.
Was super famous.
Real weird, yeah.
He was super famous. I mean, look in that Playboy you got there.
Yeah.
From 1968.
Yeah.
He's probably in there. The fact is, it was a big deal because he was beating all these Soviet guys who.
Right. Right. Well, I just saw this documentary on HBO, which just, I guess, serendipitously has been on. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, my grandfather was upset. I'd heard that name, but I knew it was a chess guy, but I didn't. Now I know way more than I wanted to, but I thought that was weird. So chess is the downfall.
I don't know. Like I said, I wouldn't judge and say it's a downfall, but I mean...
Well, you could say that about anything. If you were flossing your teeth, that would probably get in the way of your songwriting.
Exactly.
Right. So, Renfro, fall 2014, new day at Strange Brew, Wednesdays.
That's 8 correct.
8 p.m.
Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
Starting, what's the first date? September?
Not 15th. This Wednesday, but the next one,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so not the 10th, but the 17th.
And I'm going to start putting these little download cards around town.
That's
strange
what I
places. I want to challenge Tony to a taco eating contest at Taco Deli, and then I'm going to put some under the seat.
That's going to make me barf if you keep talking about
that. Oh, yeah, he's not doing good.
Today. I have a stomach.
Again?
Yeah.
You're not going to accept my challenge.
I'm going to go
suck I'll
in
accept
the
your challenge.
All right,
I'm
me and John Gowdy are going to have a taco eating contest.
If I can be a member of Renfro once every 9 months for just about a week.
That sounds good.
I heard when we were at the Fringe pimping some Renfro, they played your tune that Renfro played. It sounded as good as anything.
Thank you.
Like song-wise and sonically. It was
Yeah.
That's a lot of cool
those guys,
guitar going on in the headphones on that one.
Yeah. Those guys have a good... I'm excited about that radio station.
Yeah. The Fringe. Ray Dog.
You know, it's... I don't know if it's because those guys... You know, I don't know if it's actually... I can't tell if it's really great or if it's just dudes that have the same kind of taste of music. And
it is.
Well,
it kind of is. I don't know about the Dave Matthews stuff. They've been busting out the Dave Matthews. Like it's some new band.
Well, KGSR started like throwing in what's the if you wanna call me baby
Spin
we'll
Doctors.
Yeah, they started playing some Spin Doctors last year, and that threw me off.
Fastball Contemporaries.
Really? Yeah. I thought they predated Fastball.
They do predate Fastball, but 94. I mean, I got to sing that song, "Your Two Princes," live in a festival in New York
with that band,
with them, because Scott had a Baron, the singer, had laryngitis for like 2 months.
Right,
literally wouldn't open mouth to speak.
That.
He would walk around the stage with these placards that said things, and then with lyrics. And he had whoever was on the festival just help sing. And Ivan Neville was in their band too, by the way.
Really?
A lot of people don't know Ivan Neville was a Spin Doctor. He was actually kind of their musical director, and he gave me.
He's the percussionist guy.
He was playing keyboards.
Oh, he's playing
the keyboard. He's the keyboard.
Okay.
He played with Keith Richards a little too.
Right.
But he would just give me the words and he'd cue me and everything. And so I got to sing that song with them once.
Oh, Cyril was the
percussionist. Cyril's the older guy, Cyril is actually Ivan's brother.
Okay.
And Aaron is the father of Ivan, I think.
Right.
I think. I could be totally wrong, but
I saw that.
I dig all those guys. I love that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss those guys. You're influenced by that, aren't you?
Neville Brothers?
Yeah.
Not really Neville Brothers, not me. Uh-uh.
I think we should do
more Meters.
This,
I like...
Okay.
I prefer Meters, Meters. I don't know about... I think Billy Cass is probably a little more on the Neville Brothers department or Frosty and those guys.
But, yeah.
But I wasn't influenced by the Meters when it counted. I only got hip to them after. It would have been nice to have been influenced by the Meters.
Yeah,
like, seeing how Soul Hat would have gone if you had more of
that. Well, yeah, direction. It'd be like, oh, that's funk. Okay. Instead of like...
Chili Pepper style.
Yeah, you know, just to...
Right.
And so, once you do hear that, you're like, I better stop, cease and desist the funk.
I know exactly what you mean.
Crusaders. Yeah. Check out the Crusaders, too.
The Crusaders are funky.
Amazing.
Yeah. Crusaders?
Yeah. The Jazz Crusaders, they were called for a while, but the Crusaders.
Not the Crusados.
No, that's a different band.
No.
That's Los Crusados.
Yes.
Los Crusados.
Tito de Riva, who lives here in Austin, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tito has been living here for a long time.
Do you know how to get a hold of him? I'd like to have him on my show.
I could do some research. His daughter went to school with my daughter over there at Garza.
Hold on.
Gremlins.
Sorry about that.
Wet hard drive.
I started screaming at you. No, I forgot to delete one of the tracks.
How did it get here?
Yeah, my voice drives you nuts. What am I missing?
Well,
starting in September, Wednesdays.
Yeah, we just got to get people to go check out these tunes on iTunes as soon as they're... I'd love it to pimp it more, but it's incorrect. It's still...
But that's all right, because if you listen, if you just listen to them, you get the amount of song that they would let you listen to of the song that's cut off.
Yeah, but we want people to have it in their heart.
Is there a SoundCloud page or something that people can go and just stream and listen real fast?
No, without... I can do that. I should do that today.
Okay.
I'll do it.
I feel like whenever we're on the show, I give you a lot of good ideas to go home and do stuff.
You're probably right. He does.
I'm good.
Well, I guess I still come from the department of if someone's gonna go listen to the song, what's the point of like selling it if they can just go listen to it and go like, oh, I love it, I'm done, I move on. So I don't want to like, I don't want people to be able to just listen to it.
I know,
but that's how people are, and I guess I gotta just get hit. But
it's fucking weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
it's weird. I mean the reason why I was asking you guys about that Spotify thing is I just got on it. Okay, I just didn't do it for, I just like, people would be like, oh, I'm doing, and I'd just be like, I don't know, I've got an iPod and I buy music because that's what you're supposed to do. And so finally, you know, a month ago I got on Spotify and I just kind of started using it, and I didn't pay for it. I was seeing what all I could get. Then I paid for a subscription a few days ago and I spent a lot of time listening to it, and when I listened to it, I was having a feeling of a fan, of having literally the greatest day of my life.
Oh.
I've never had
thanks
the money
to Spotify.
To go. Well, I never had the money to like go buy every Esquivel record.
Right.
I never had. You know what I mean? I don't like to. And music changes formats so quickly now that over the last 20 years, you bought the same shit. I mean, how many times do I have to buy the fucking Cars catalog? You know what I mean?
Mm.
So, but I'm being serious, and so I'm having this amazing day and then having that crisis of an artist going like, what happened to this business and how do people live? How does someone like mm-hmm. you live?
Well, I'll tell you this much. They're making a gang of money and artists aren't really getting paid very much compared to what they're making.
Right.
I know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and people are going to come down saying, well, what do you want? What do you want? Like 90% of your music? You know, I would like that, actually. That'd be nice. But I know it ain't going to happen, and I'm not going to complain about it too much, and I really don't go on a rant, but I have to say that I've been put into a light recently from some fictitious blog. I don't know what it's called, but it's been posted on my Facebook 3 times now with friends of mine going, did you really write this? Because it looks like I wrote this article about how Fastball's, you know, kind of bitching about not getting royalties that we used to get, that kind of thing. I did not write that. I wouldn't complain in public about that kind of thing, but it made it look like I wrote this thing, and I just didn't. And you know, I don't know where I'm going exactly, but
I don't either.
Yeah, thanks. But
how much do you got to pay for Spotify? What's the?
It's like
30
$10 a month,
right?
It's $10 a month.
Oh yeah,
$9.99 a month.
I mean,
you can't get the Beatles. I mean, there's some stuff you get, like there's some stuff you look up and you can't get it.
It's I got the whole list. Beatles catalog on iTunes for $150.
I got the Beatles thing too.
The iTunes is paying Paul McCartney 85% of your $100.
So it's negotiable if you're Paul McCartney.
Oh yeah, I mean everything's different for him.
And you know, frankly, big deal. The thing is, these big artists, really, really big artists, they're not going to be hurt by any of this stuff. You know, they're going to go ahead and be able to, you know, their music's going to get out to everybody, no matter what. So what does happen to the more progressive, the more smaller? What about genres that, you know, is there going to be a krautrock station or a, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I know they have all that, but it's going to, like... To me, it's just going to get into this thing where it's going to be all mainstream. I'm a little worried about that.
I've heard. I mean, there's people that since I've gotten into it, and I've been trying to ask people, like, you know, do you listen to this shit? Like, I mean, are you on this? Are you on Spotify? Are you on Pandora? Are you, you know, yeah. What one do you listen to? There's a lot of people that tell me about other ones that I've never even heard of that have indie right. music on it, and like,
yeah. But who's you
but
know?
Who's to say that next year Spotify is going to be gone and some other?
Well, they
thing
say
is Pandora
is looking like it's going to fade into the sunset.
And that's the one. The other night I talked to Kimmy Rhodes, and she was saying that that's the one that actually pays the most fairly.
There you go.
Yeah, that's actually what she said. Don't put your music on Spotify.
I can't. I guess I'm just kind of more interested in writing songs and performing than I am in doing all the research to try to find
right.
what's the right format for that music.
Right. But sadly, we live in a time now where, like, you have to have, it's not, it's really like each one of us is like a little cottage industry.
Yeah.
Like a publicity department, a management department, a booking department, a fucking, you know, poster making department.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we all have these offices on our phones.
I'm just
like,
getting more frustrated as this sure. conversation goes. So,
am I frustrating you?
No, but
it's a frustrating thing, but it's good to have these conversations. That's part of
why
I have this
show. Well,
it
would be real easy for us to take my computer, go to Tony's and record songs for $0 and not care
sure.
how good they sounded.
Right.
Put them up for free
yeah.
and do that. But right. like he was saying earlier, we want to try and make good recordings and
right.
all that. So that's kind of the bummer where we're at.
Yeah, put on a Platters record.
Dude, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that shit's below your mind.
From the
50s. Real deal. Yeah.
And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
The voices are clear and rich and thick bandwidth. They even used to put the microphone, pictures of the microphones and the way that they were placed in the room on the back of albums. If you look at some 50s
yeah.
and 60s records.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I wish people really cared about that stuff, but they don't. They want right away, and they, you know, they just want it. They don't even know what they really want, I don't think.
Well, I'm going to record a Renfro single next week.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. We don't have to put it out, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
It'll be on How Do I Get Here Records.
That's a nervous giggle.
Yeah, that's my new label. Is there anything that I'm missing? I love you guys, and you're two of my favorite musical entities in our community.
You just fulfilled your...
What?
Now you're not missing anything after that.
Oh, really?
You okay. love us?
I do. I really do. I care about you guys as people.
You actually
you
like
are,
us.
You are God. Yes, I fucking totally like you guys. And
get the fuck out.
I think of you as like, I think of us as a family, as part of this giant sort of community
likewise.
Family. And I'm proud to know that you guys are part of it.
Well,
yes.
We're all peers and we've all known each other since the...
Since we were in our 30s.
Early 90s. What a good thing you've done. I think that
well,
this
thank
is
you.
Like, what, 350 that you've
no,
done?
No, it's
though?
Like 309.
Oh, well,
five,
I'm
six,
pretty close.
306, yeah, close, a lot. Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's...
Well, thank you guys for coming by. Everyone go see Renfro. Get on iTunes. Look up Renfro, W-R-E-N-F-R-O. Follow them on Facebook. You guys post stuff. You know what's going on. You're very funny. Your posts are funny. Your posters are very cool and intriguing and fun to look at. And, and I wish you
thank
the best
you.
On Wednesdays at Strange Brew.
Thank you, and we'll have to invite you up very soon.
I'll be back to play soon. What are you going to say?
Well, apparently, if you look up Renfro on Amazon, there's an author, Beverly Renfro, spelled with the W.
Yeah.
You know Beverly Renfro?
No, but that's cool. I
Renfro
knew it.
Band
there's got to be someone named Renfro with
Escaping
a W.
Escaping the Traps of Hell is her book.
We'll have to check that out. You
write that song.
Escaping the Traps of Hell with Renfro.
Knowing there's nowhere to hide. Do you feel it growing?
Renfro people. The magic of Tony Scalzo and Kevin McKinney, Chris Gebbard and Ed Jerzynski. Get out there. They are switching to Wednesdays. They've been doing Mondays this whole time at Strange Brew. But now, starting September 17th, they will be playing Wednesdays at Strange Brew. If you are in Austin or you're coming to Austin, you can see that. Also, go to strangebrewloungeside.com because I believe you can watch those shows. If you're living in Italy right now and you're thinking like, fuck, I want to see what Tony and Kevin are doing, I think you can get online and watch those shows live. If not, they have like, they have some kind of like live feed going on there. Strange Brew, great place. And, of course, you can pick up the singles, Can You Keep a Secret, and Good Luck for Real, which you will hear Good Luck for Real now. after I finish talking, okay? So while you're out there on iTunes, CD Baby, looking up the Renfro, be sure that you subscribe to How Did I Get Here on iTunes, if that's how you listen to podcasts. If not, you can go to Stitcher, download that app. They've got over 5,000 shows, including How Did I Get Here. They will be updated every Tuesday and every Friday. We have a new show coming out for you. If this is the first time you've listened to the show, and I bring you conversations with people such as Kevin and Tony, okay? I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank Kevin and Tony for coming by. Don't forget, Wednesdays at Strange Brew, if you're in Austin, get out there. Starting September 17th, you can see Renfro live. You will find me there at times, and then also jamming with them, okay? Let's hear some more Renfro. Let's get down.